please, to 1 John chapter number 4. Chapter number 4, starting in verse number 4. The Bible says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." Heavenly Father, O God, as we open up your word, do open our eyes and our ears to the gospel, but also, Lord, to your commands, Lord, that we would choose to, in these last days, follow wholly after you, to cling to you. Lord, just be with this time, Lord. Bless as we study your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It's easy today, especially in America. In other parts of the world, it isn't as easy. And you can, for saying that you're a Christian, for saying that you believe in God, can receive great persecution. But in America, if you say that you believe in God, you won't get a whole lot of argument or even negative response. It's easy to tell other people that you're walking in total faith as you live your life. It's easy to call yourself a Christian, but the truth of the matter isn't as, it's not as easy to walk the walk as it is to talk the talk. It's not as easy to live the biblical principles or really trust and obey God each day as he gives us a day to live. There's always been a big gap between thinking, speaking, and then actually doing what you say you're going to do. Talk is cheap. Action is always expensive. True and real faith is always associated with some kind of work ethic or reactivity, as such, will always carry a related cost. Wherever you are in the act of exercising faith in God, you will have to pay some type of a price. It's going to cost you. Faith is an action word. It has a price tag. So we see in this passage here that he's talking to the children of God. He's talking to those who are professing to follow after Christ. "Ye are of God, little children." Paul writes and says that when his children walk in truth, John is concerned with the people that he is writing to, with the group of Christians that he is writing to, that there's some problems in the group. Real peace and happiness are true gifts of God. As we go into the Christmas season, as we go about our day-to-day life, as the days draw closer and closer, and as I mentioned this morning, the crowds get longer, the traffic gets worse, and it seems like everybody's in a bad mood for whatever reason. Real peace and happiness are gifts from God. As we see people that are unhappy, As we see people that to say they're unhappy would be an understatement, that they are just plain angry. Is it because we're looking in the mirror? And I don't mean it's because we're in our bathroom at home and getting ready for the day. I mean because as we're walking down the street, are we receiving back what we're giving out? John says, "Beloved, let us love one another," in verse number 7. If peace and happiness are gifts of God, and the first gift that He gave was His love. As we see that throughout the Gospels, and as we see that even as He says here in this, was manifested the love of God toward us. Because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world. As we celebrate this Christmas season, are we expressing the love that God gave us? It's slightly easier to do so within a body of believers, within the church, to come in, and I've made light of it before, but as we get out of the car and we walk up into the church building and people are standing there and you shake their hand and go, "Oh, I'm just having an awesome day," and it's just a great day. But just moments before, we were grousing about this, that, or the other. A person's true beliefs are always manifested and displayed through the actions they take and the services they perform. Regardless of what you say or what your intentions are, everyone will truly know what you actually believe about being a Christian by how you act and how you love and how you live. Verse number 8, John says, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." God's revealed Himself to us, and He's written the Bible, and He gave it to man, and then He inspired a king to commission men to put it, to change it, to translate it, and put it into a language that we can read today. And in the book, he in the Bible, he directs, he guides us, he gives us what we need on a day-to-day basis on how to build good personal relationships. And so many times we pick it up and we glance through it and don't see what we want to see today. And the world picks up and they don't understand because they say, "Oh, it just doesn't make any sense to me." As easy it is to call yourself a Christian in America, it's becoming easier and easier to find people who are agnostics or atheists, who say there is no God, who refuse to believe, even though every prophecy that he wrote, almost every one about Him and His kingdom have come true. What a person acts out in their daily lives defines him, sets him apart in humanity. And how are we set apart is in our day-to-day lives? Some time ago, and I have often wondered in my own life, if we were to be put on trial for being a Christian, would they be able to gather enough evidence, or would the case be thrown out? Would there be any witnesses against us? Would there be any witnesses for us? depending upon which side of the road you want that to be. You never have to wonder if a person is a Christian. Their words, their actions, or lack thereof always confirm whether or not they are. When a man or woman really believes and conducts their personal affairs in a Christ-like manner, they attract to themselves both believers and non-believers. Jesus being our example, and we see as He conducted His ministry for 3.5 years, that He went about, and as He went about, people were drawn to Him. Granted, some of that was because they hoped to see another miracle. They hoped to be fed by Him for free. Everybody's gets excited about a free meal. But oh, there was so much more, because so many more came to Him, not because of the miracles, but because they wanted to know who He truly was. The true Christian always identifies himself. He's either a real believer or he's not. There really is no such thing as partial belief. Oh, I kind of believe I'm a Christian. Oh, I kind of believe that there's a God. There, you either do or you don't.
That's right, amen.
You have either accepted Jesus as your personal Savior and you are following after Him, or you have not.
Amen.
If we were to look back on our actions over this past year, would we be able to convince ourselves of our relationship with Christ? Or would there be doubt in our own minds? Jesus loves us. He loves all of His creation. He loves every part of His creation except for the sin part. If you still believe that you have areas in your life where there is weakness, or where you're not fully trusting and following in God, those are the areas we must take to God immediately in prayer and ask Him to strengthen those areas. But after asking Him to strengthen those areas, do we then put into practice what He has told us to do? Verse number 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. He is very clear that the challenge isn't with the fact that nobody else loves us, but that God loved us. And with that, He anchors the fact that our responsibility to our fellow man isn't to complain about what isn't happening, but to love one another.
Amen.
We must go to work and be busy obeying His instruction. So there are 5 things, and we'll look briefly at these 5 things that we must do as Christians. We must do in these last days. You know, Pastor, you believe we're in the last days? I believe we've been in the last days ever since Jesus told His disciples, "I go to prepare a place for you."
That's right.
More importantly, I believe we're in the last days of this month. I believe we're in the last days of this year. And we have very little time to salvage, if necessary, the year for Jesus. If you watch sporting games and you see one team will be ahead, the other team will be behind, or whatever the case may be, and they will do things that they wouldn't normally do, just trying to salvage the game. Teams will play and they'll do whatever is necessary to try and salvage the season. Black Friday was brought about by businesses trying to salvage a year of retail. And we as Christians must look to our year and, if necessary, do what is needed to salvage the year for Jesus. Number one thing that of the five things that we must do in these last days is admit our need. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, and we understand that, but doesn't it have a lot more meaning when we apply it to verse number 11 of 1 John chapter 4? Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Oh, Pastor, I completely understand because I really don't like you. And I completely would understand that. We ought to love one another. Amen. And through Christ we can do that.
Amen.
Through Christ we can love the unlovable. Through Christ we can salvage a year. Through Christ we can salvage a day. Then oh, it would be such that we would have victory. Many people are already, and they've already started their list or have already completed their list, and there's others such as myself who haven't started the New Year's resolution list. And it always amazes me how we will write up this is what I'm going to do in the new year. This is the attitude, this is the exercise regime, this is the diet, this is the whatever I'm going to do in the new year. Days and weeks and months will pass before the new year, and we won't start it yet. I believe that if a diet or an exercise regime is necessary in the new year, it's necessary in the remaining days of the old one. And I believe that our need for Jesus, if it's going to be necessary this year, it is more necessary, it is more needed at the end of this year. Oh, that January 1st wouldn't suddenly find us excited about Jesus, but that we would already be. Second thing we need to do in these last days of this year is rely on the Lord.
Amen.
Psalms 37, verse number 5, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Talked about presents and gift giving this morning, but the gift of having our way brought about by Jesus, that our pathway into the next year would be clear and free of debris, stumbling stones and potholes. But if we wait until January 1st to commit our way unto the Lord, how long then do we have to wait for Him to respond in bringing it to pass? We're spoiled today. I wanted some books and had some folks that I wanted to give a book to, and so many people have given me books over the years and invested in my life, and I like to do the same for others. And I found this book, and I go, well, I want this. And so then I ordered it, and And it was on the way, and I looked at my shipping options. And the closer you get to the Christmas, the more it costs to get it here before Christmas. If we approach our way unto the Lord in that same attitude, in that same thought pattern, as we are committing our way to the Lord, when do we want Him to bring it to pass? I prefer the expedited. Next day delivery would be awesome. During business hours. Because I'd sure hate to sleep through Him bringing something to pass. But so much of the time we commit our way unto the Lord, and we're unwilling to pay the price that it takes to have next day response. Proverbs 3 verses 5 through 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths."
Amen.
We're not willing to pay the price, though. We say, "Oh, I trust in the Lord, and I know that He will bring it to pass." And then as soon as we walk away, we start trying to figure out how we're going to. I wish I was different than that. But even in my own life, when I ran into a challenge just not too long ago, and Darlene and I talked about it, and we prayed about it, and we prayed about it again, and we prayed about it again, and every time it came back to my mind, and I tried to, in my mind, come up with a solution. And in my mind had to go back and physically lean against Jesus rather than on what I knew I could do. Rather than, I'm a big fan of calling in favors, right? Well, I'll owe you one, knowing that I never have anything that anybody's going to need, so I'm pretty safe. But to say that we trust in the Lord and then to leave it in His hands is kind of like handing somebody a book and saying, "Here, I want you to read this and it'll help you." And then as they take it, you go, "Oh man, I want you to see this part right here." And you take the book back and you show them this part. And you go, "Man," and you really ought to read the book. And they start to walk away. Wait. "Boy, there's this other part in here. You really ought to see this part." And they're like going, "Would you let me?" And the ending, oh man, you can't wait to the ending. "Watch, I'll show you." And they're like, "Well, thanks for giving me a book." And how many times do we do that with Jesus? We hand Him our problem, and it seems like the closer we come to the end of the year, the closer we come to a major event, the harder it is to leave it. The harder it is to understand that His hands are calloused with working. And He wants to work on our problem, but if truth be known, our hands are calloused from working our problems over, and He never gets to really touch it. After we admit our need and then we rely on the Lord, the third thing we must do is commit ourselves to growth. 1 Peter 2:2 says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby." Do we commit ourselves to growth? And we understand that we need Jesus, that without His strength, without His watch care, it's really hard to get through some of the challenges we face in our lives. And some days we almost have the attitude of, well, today's not a bad day, so it's not that big a deal. Sometime back, and I won't tell you how long back, just to save myself embarrassment, I preached on when you get up in the morning, how do you get up? Do you spend time in prayer as you're getting up? Before you get out of bed, do you commit your way unto the Lord before your way starts? Some mornings I'm able to do that. So, Pastor, you're the pastor. You're supposed to do it every morning. You preached it. You're supposed to. And we've had this discussion over the last 2.5 years that I get really frustrated with having to actually live the sermons that I preach sometimes, because they seem to test me beyond what I believe I should have to be capable of. But I have found that the mornings where I wake up and my thoughts immediately go toward Jesus, and if my thoughts immediately go toward preparing my way in Him before I step out. In the wintertime, it's so much easier because the floor is cold and the air is cold outside the blankets, and you can lay there for a moment and honest Christians call it snoozing, but you know, we would like to believe that we are committing our way to the Lord, and just for that five more minutes before the alarm goes off again, and then seeing what He brings to pass. But after we pray and after we commit our way to the Lord and our feet hit the floor, do we commit to growth? Do we open up God's Word and say, okay, God, I need to grow today? Most times we don't want to. Why? Because we're familiar with growing pains. And we're very soft when it comes to that. You know, Lord, I'm good with growing, and I'm great with the fact that I ought to be a spiritual giant, but Lord, I don't want any of the pains that are involved in that. Went to the gym on Friday and worked out. I plan on doing it at least one more time before the year is over. But you ever notice you go and lift weights and then the next day isn't near as bad as the day after? So we're on the day after part. So leading singing is a whole lot of fun because my arms are sore. But if I'm going to grow any muscles, that's way past that. I'm past that age of being able to grow any. But if I'm going to be able to grow past that part of it, I have to be faithful in my trips to the gym. If I'm going to grow as a Christian, I can't open up the Word of God on Monday and go, okay, God, give me something for the week. I have to open it up on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday and grow each day. Oh, I must desire it. If you've ever seen I like the example because it was so much fun when I was in kindergarten and this family wanted to bless my dad. And as we were preparing to go out on the mission field, and they brought a baby lamb and gave it to my dad, and all, here, we don't have very much, but we'd like you to have this baby lamb. The mom had passed away and they didn't want to take care of it. Dad had us kids, and so you guys can do it and it'll be no big deal. And I remember we would fix a bottle of milk for this lamb, and you're sitting at the sink and you've got this bottle and you're trying to fill it with milk and you're trying to get the nipple on the bottle and it's really tight and it has to be, because otherwise the nipple just pops right off if you don't have it right, because he is very aggressive toward that. And as you're sitting there trying to get that all together, he's bumping you against the leg. I want that now. And he's calling out for that milk. and he's excited to receive what is there for him, and he just can't wait. And then you finally get it all together, and you make sure that nipple's on there tight, and you reach down there, and before you can even get, he's got his feet up on you, and he's grabbing that nipple with his mouth because he wants that.